And welcome to this Friday, July 5th edition of Between the Lines. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers this week flexing his muscle by recasting the Republican-approved state budget to increase funding for schools and shave away dozens of GOP proposals before signing the two-year spending plan into law. We'll get reaction from Republican State Representative Jeremy Thiesfeldt shortly after the bottom of the hour. The governor adding more money to public education than what Republican lawmakers had put into the budget. And we'll get reaction from North Fond du Lac School Superintendent Aaron Sadoff on a little bit later on in the program. The Wisconsin Department of Tourism has an Office of Outdoor Recreation. Funding was included in the state budget signed by the governor, and the office will capitalize on the number one marketable driver for visits to Wisconsin, and that's namely outdoor pursuits, with the creation of three new staff positions. Wisconsin trying to leapfrog the competition with the new office. Reaction from the Fond du Lac Area Convention and Visitors Bureau Director Craig Molitor coming up on the next segment of the show. Overcrowded, squalid conditions are more widespread at migrant centers across the southern border than initially revealed, according to the Department of Homeland Security's independent watchdog. The report describes standing room only cells, children without showers and hot meals, and detainees clamoring desperately for release. The Sisters and Associates of St. Agnes are inviting the public to join them in a prayer vigil a week from today in support of the detained immigrants and children. Inspired by the Lights for Liberty events occurring throughout the country, the prayer service will take place in the chapel of the Sisters of St. Agnes Mother House on County Road K in Fond du Lac. Joining us on the first segment of the show, Sister Ruth Battaglia, we greatly appreciate you joining us on the program.
Thank you.
When you read about the conditions and that these individuals are enduring, and you see the pictures and the footage of what's taking place on the U.S.-Mexico border, what goes through your mind?
Well, it certainly is disheartening. We feel very compassionate towards these people who have left their homes, probably because they feel forced to, and then their experience on coming to the United States is one of certainly not feeling welcomed and cared for and having a compassionate welcome. But yes, it's very discouraging. It's heartbreaking.
In June, last month, inspectors from the Department of Homeland Security's Office of Inspector General visited five facilities in the Rio Grande Valley of Texas. They found children had few spare clothes, no laundry facilities. Many migrants were given only wet wipes to clean themselves and bologna sandwiches to eat, causing constipation and other health problems. Two children at two of the five facilities were not given hot meals until the inspectors arrived. And overcrowding was so severe that when the agency's internal inspectors visited some of the facilities, migrants were banging on cells and pressing notes to windows begging for help. I mean, how does this happen?
Well, I think it happens because we haven't had a good policy for immigration. We have tried in the past. Well, it's been years in making. And so now we are reaping the results of the fact that we haven't dealt well with the immigration issue. We haven't worked on our relationship with our Latin American countries to have a strong relationship with them and to help them with some of the issues they face. But I think, you know, right now it's the zero tolerance policy of the administration that is not allowing for a more humane way to deal with the situation. I mean, they don't want the people here, and so they're going to make it as difficult as possible for them to stay here.
Some of the migrants were not given fresh water and were forced to drink from toilets. I mean, this is just incredible. When you, the more you read, the more sickened you become.
Yes, yes. That they should experience this when they come into our country is really shameful.
I mean, we're talking about basic human decency. Regardless of how you feel about immigrants coming into this country, we're talking about basic human decency here.
Right. And that's what we're responding to. We as a community have said that one of our gifts is to respond to those whose faith, life, and human dignity are threatened. And so we have been trying to respond in any way that we can. We had some sisters go down to the border to help with some in the refugee centers, which was just, you know, helping them get on their way. We just sent clothing, medical supplies, toiletries with some of our sisters who were up for our community gathering. They live in Arizona, so their car was packed full of things to bring back. But, you know, that's just such a small thing that we can do for such a huge problem.
What is Lights for Liberty?
Lights for Liberty is a coalition of people. Many of them are mothers, and they're dedicated to human rights and the fundamental principle behind democracy, that all human beings have a right to life, liberty, and dignity. So they partner with international, national, and regional communities who believe in these fundamental rights.
And what's taking place a week from today?
Well, they have organized what they are calling a vigil to end human concentration camps. And so what they're focusing on, of course, is the situation on the border. And so there are quite a number of communities that are holding events. Most of them are being held from 7 to 9. We are having our prayer service earlier from 6 to 7. But it's holding up these people who are in concentration camps, which I guess is a fair word to use for what's happening at our border. And so we will be joining in solidarity with these groups.
And so tell us more about the prayer service, the time, where it's going to be.
Okay. The prayer service will be held in our mother house, which is on 330 County Road K. We will start at 6 o'clock. The pattern that we've been using, we've been doing contemplative prayer experiences for peace and justice in our world. And so it's similar. We're going to have some scripture reading, silent reflection, some petitions, music. There'll be a battery-held light that we will be giving to each person to take that light and perhaps then put it in their window as a reminder of the people who are suffering at our border and a reminder that we have to act, we have to do something about this. So we're inviting people to take those home and to keep them and light them as a reminder and to pray for the people that are most affected by the conditions at the border.
And I'll get you out on this, Sister Ruth, as we continue to celebrate our Independence Day holiday this weekend with family and friends, maybe spending time with a picnic or maybe out on the lake on a boat and relaxing and enjoying ourselves. What do you want people to be thinking about when it comes to what's going on at the U.S.-Mexico border?
I think we have to be aware that this is not who we are as U.S. citizens, that our country has been welcoming to people, that we have an abundance of resources that we can assist people with, and that it, just because, as you said before, it's a humane situation, it's we need to respect their dignity, and so that we would be welcoming to these people just because of the situation they are in and then to help them resolve some of the issues that they're coming with.
All right. Sister Ruth Battaglia with the Congregation of the Sisters of St. Agnes, we greatly appreciate you joining us on the program.
You're welcome. Thank you.